This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Zev Neuwirth. Zev is one of the smartest, nicest people that I've ever had a chance to meet. He's a physician, worked at a health system for a very long time in strategy and other roles. Then he wrote a book really on the concept of humanizing healthcare. And he'll talk to us more about what that means and what he's doing. Zev, can you take a moment to just to get us started off to tell us just a bit about yourself and about the book as well?
Yeah, Scott, what a pleasure to speak with you. And I'm looking forward to being at the Becker Conference next week. And hope I have a chance to say hi to you there in person. So, my background is pretty straightforward. I practiced internal medicine in a variety of settings for over 15 years and then began to transition into more administrative roles in ambulatory care, primary care, largely in the outpatient setting, population health officer. In the last, I would say, 5, 6, 7 years, really focused on moving care into the home, that whole home-based care ecosystem with remote patient monitoring and televisits and all the logistics and technology that we could bring to bear to that. I think that's really, you know, a big part of humanizing healthcare. I've also been, as you know, focused on issues like health equity quite a bit over the last few years. And as you were mentioning, my second book, Beyond the Walls, is fundamentally a book on how we can and must humanize healthcare for all Americans.
And talk about, when you talk about humanizing healthcare, implicitly, I kind of understand what you mean. You get more and more to these care situations where you may get less chance to actually talk to the nurse or the physician assistant, and more just moving through a system. I have to say that notwithstanding that, I've had such fortunate experiences lately with doctors and caregivers, nurses and others have spent appropriate time with me that I felt so lucky to have that. But talk about what you mean when we see humanizing healthcare.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it is wonderful to hear, you know, of your experience. And let me say this, I think, you know, and I say this pretty much, you know, in every one of my podcasts and my writings, is that I think for the most part, the vast majority of people in healthcare are absolutely amazing. And I know you agree with me because we've talked about this before. I mean, whether it's the doctors, nurses, you know, physician assistants, the technologists, I mean, everyone in healthcare, you know, that I've met and spoken to, you go into it because you're really passionate about helping people and being part of healthcare. And so, you know, the people are phenomenal. The problem is the system. And so when I talk about humanizing healthcare, and again, I've been doing this for a long, long time, like over 3 decades, I started out my career studying and teaching empathy to internal medicine residents and to doctors and nurses in the hospital system. So this is not a new thing for me. I studied burnout back in the 1990s and 2000 to, again, humanize healthcare for providers. In fact, I wrote an article in Newsweek in 2000 based on, it was focused on burnout. No one even knew what burnout was when I published that article in Newsweek in 2000. So I've been thinking about this, writing about this, working on this for decades. I think the issue is really about systematizing, operationalizing the humanization of healthcare. It is not enough for people to have this as part of their internal personalities, as part of their work, because it really is the system that can either support that, empower that, or really, really quash it. And so for me, I get very, very, and I think we all have to get very, very operational about it. So for me, the definition is we have to really replace all of the caustic isms in healthcare. So racism, sexism, ageism, ableism, classism, all of those isms have to be replaced with humanism. And you can really pick up each one of them, look at the research data, and look at what folks are doing to reverse it, and get very, very concrete, very real, and deploy humanism in healthcare. And the book I wrote, both books actually, really give example after example of organizations that are doing that. And what's encouraging, and I think it really aligns with your personal story, what's encouraging is that there are so many positive examples out there. Now, I will say, though, and people use this word, and I'm cautious about it, but quite honestly, you and I, Scott, are somewhat privileged, and we're fortunate in many, many ways. But if you look at the literature and you look at the data, the vast majority of Americans are really struggling with healthcare. There are something, there are over 100 million Americans, well over 100 million Americans that are in medical debt. Most Americans literally cannot afford one hospitalization or one ED visit. It will force them to give up some other really important spend, whether it be clothing, housing, electricity. I mean, this is the reality in healthcare. And so, and you look at the biases in healthcare, and again, the literature is very clear, whether it's around racism or sexism or bias against ableism, people with disabilities. So the reality is really, really clear. The data is very, very clear, and I just think this is a great opportunity for leaders to really do something. I think it's a, I am personally very, very hopeful about what we can do.
Thank you. And take a moment, Don. What are you most excited about right now, Dr. Neuwirth? What are you most focused on and excited about currently?
Again, I think it's the, I don't know what to call it, points of light, points of hope. I think it's, what it is, Scott, it's these, I'm discovering, and this is, I'm doing very, very intentionally, I'm discovering humanistic leaders all over the country. In fact, I hadn't realized, but I've been doing this in my podcast for the past 8 years, right? It's, and quite honestly, I'll just, be straightforward about it. Scott, you're one of those humanistic leaders. I mean, I've interviewed you on my podcast, years ago and more than once, and there's a reason for it. I mean, the people I've been seeking out, the people I've been appreciating, the people I've been sharing their stories with are people I think who are exemplars of really deploying humanism in healthcare, and not just talking about it, but actually doing it and concretely in a way that I think is scalable and replicable and sustainable and financially viable. And that's what I'm most excited about, is sharing those stories.
And talk a little bit about how can organizations that want to bring that human touch back to healthcare in the right way. And your point on us being privileged is completely right. You're a physician, know the system well. When you go into the system, you're treated well. My surgeon, who I know very well, who had to bump me from the first person in the schedule, bumped me because he had to get a doctor's daughter on the schedule before me. But it just goes to show, like, people that are privileged. I know him. The doctor knows him, so his daughter gets in there first. Mm-hmm. Other people are waiting in line for whatever their appointments are for their surgery. It just is. But you're absolutely right in terms of there being, we're fortunate in that we have that kind of access. Not everybody does. Your point is so well taken.
Thank you for punctuating that point. And, sometimes people use that word, and some people bristle about it because it's like, what do you mean I'm privileged? I work hard. And, you work extremely hard. I work extremely hard. Lots of privileged people work extremely hard. But, I think the point is this, that you and I and the listeners out there, we are, what I mean by that word is we have, one of the things I mean by it is we have the opportunity. And this is what makes life so wonderful and meaningful and purposeful. We have the opportunity, because of our situation, because of some of the assets we have, to really do good, to really have an impact on the system that others might not have. And, I think you just started to ask another question about what I heard you ask was about, how can healthcare workers and employees and providers, how can we do something? And the answer is, whatever role we're in, we have an opportunity. I heard a story recently, which I just published. I published an article. It just came out yesterday in Medical Economics. It's actually titled, Scott, this is so timely. It's titled, What Can I Do to Humanize Healthcare? That's the title of the article in Medical Economics, April 3rd. It came out. I think it's online. And, I talk about a doctor at Chen Med. His name is Dr. Faisal Syed. And he's sitting there in his team. And he hears the team talk about what we all know about, which is walk-ins. So walk-ins are when patients don't schedule, or they schedule same day and it disrupts the schedule. No one loves walk-ins because it is disruptive, right? You have your schedule and all of a sudden you have more people in the schedule and you can't get lunch and you just have to stay late. And he said, this is not right. We shouldn't talk about people. These are people. These are people, patients of ours, who are calling because they're either anxious or concerned, or they're in pain. Something's bothering them enough that they're going to do, they just have to get in to be seen today by us. And it's our privilege to do that. So what he said, we're not gonna use that word anymore. We're not gonna call people, label them walk-ins, because it has a negative connotation. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna call them people in need. And he literally, that's all he did. And he said, from now on, we're gonna call these people in need. And so on my schedule, I don't wanna ever see a walk-in that label again. I wanna see people in need. I want us to talk about it that way. That simple change, that word, changed everything for him and for his team. And I think it's small things like that too. You know, another example I actually talked about in this article that came out yesterday in Medical Economics is, you know, you look at the VA system. Now they have a trust index. They have three or four questions they ask every quarter to tens of thousands of veterans to ask them, do you trust us? Do you trust us to take care of you? Did we actually do what you needed? Did we deliver the care you needed? And, you know, and they publish that. You could go online now. It's ridiculous. You could go online at va.gov/trust. They publish their data. It's public, and they break it down by race and gender. Now, that's, you know, when you ask, what can you do? Oh my God, just start asking people about trust and start posting it publicly. But, you know, from small to big, no matter who we are, where we are in the system, I think we all have the opportunity to actually do something very concrete and real to humanize healthcare. And I would say for healthcare organizations, the first place to start is with our own people. How well are we treating our own employees? How healthy are they? How are we making it easier for them to be healthy, right? How affordable is their healthcare? Those are, you know, so again, we could, you know, Scott, you know, we could talk about this for quite some time.
No, but the point is so well taken. So let me break it down to the most granular level. Let's say you're a doctor or a nurse. How do you improve on operationalizing empathy? Because it's not just the system, but the systems are so important that this type of how you interact with people is so important. Mm-hmm. But if I want to get better and I'm a nurse or physician or health system leader, what are a couple things one could do?
Well, I think it does start, it starts with yourself, right? I mean, I think just the notion of being kind to yourself. I'm going to post a podcast interview where with a scientist, a behavioral scientist, I just interviewed, and she talked about the fact that, you know, we're so judgmental with ourselves, and you know, if we don't achieve what we thought we need to achieve, we see it as a failure, and we're self-critical. And that actually has a major, major physiologic impact. It's not just like thought. It actually triggers something in the brain, which scientists have discovered recently, that really sort of down-regulates our motivation to actually do things. And so one of the things we could do is to stop thinking about things as failures and to just think of them as like, you know, practice. And so, you know, I did something, it didn't, you know, exactly, you know, get what I wanted to get, didn't perform the way I wanted to perform. It's okay. It's an iteration, it's an edit, you know, and allow yourself, give yourself that grace. I think it literally starts, you know, that simple. One of the things I haven't shared this with you, Scott, but I am actually beginning to really talk more about this notion of humanistic leadership. And, you know, people say to me all the time, but Zev, I'm not a leader. And I'm like, of course you're a leader. You lead your life. It's the most important gift in, you know, that anyone, any of us can possess is a human life. It's your human life and you lead it. You decide, you know, pretty much everything about your life is your, in the end, it's your final decision. You are a leader. If you're a physician, a nurse, people look at your patients, look at you as a leader. The people you take care of, they look at to you to lead them. If you're, you know, if you have a practice or a team, you're a leader. And so I think that at every station, and Scott, to your question, I mean, I think it really does start with things as simple as focused as how am I treating the people every day? How I'm an empathetic person, and I'm not saying me, Zev. I'm saying this is what people, most people are empathetic. And they're kind and they're generous and they're good. And I think it really comes down to this, and I'm going to go back to this, Scott. It's this operational gap, what we call the O gap. How do you get from strategy and, you know, being an empathetic person to actually operationalizing that in your life? That would be the question I would ask myself. I do ask myself and others, how are we actually operationalizing empathy, kindness, trust, generosity? How does that, I mean, it actually has to be deployed, just like you would deploy any other operational thing. And by the way, Scott, that's where it gets systematized, because then it's like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to look at this. We're going to measure this. We're going to have policies and protocols and programs on this. We're going to actually tie our compensation to this. And it's not because it has to be compensated, but it's because everything else gets compensated. And if you're compensating for every other factor, but trust and empathy and kindness and compassion, those things would unfortunately get crowded out. It's very, very hard to buck the system. We all know that. It's super hard to buck the system. So why not, instead of bucking the system, make the system, build the system so that it actually supports what you and I want to do, what all of us want to do in healthcare.
And take a moment, Zev, on the name of the book again, your latest book, the name of your latest keynote speech that you're giving, and also where people can learn more about you. Can you tell us those three things?
I got to remember the last time I spoke, but the book is called Beyond the Walls, and it's really about the mega trends and movements that are transforming healthcare. It's a three-part strategy, which I've seen every single person I've interviewed essentially use to really successfully humanize healthcare. And in terms of where people could, find more, I have a website, as you know, it's zevneuwirthhealth.com, zevneuwirthhealth.com. And my books are on there, the talks are on there, summaries are on there, the podcasts are on there, I've got a monthly newsletter. Scott, lately I'm actually going to do a little talk at your upcoming conference, which I'm excited to just participate in and listen and be there. But I've been fortunate. I mean, people have been calling me up. I've been speaking at medical associations and board retreats and again, the topic is really about humanizing healthcare in a very, very practical, sustainable, viable way. And I think a very operational way. That's really, I think we need to start to talk about humanizing healthcare in that way and not in sort of very lofty terms.
Thank you very, very much. Zev, Dr. Neuwirth, always a pleasure to visit with you, one of the best in the business. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Always love getting a chance to visit with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.